praise the Lord. Lift up your praise. Lift up your praise. Yes. He is good. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hasn't he done for us what we could not do ourselves? Was he not the one and only, the beloved? Was he not the only one who could rectify us and reconcile us with God? There was an unction on my heart for the last few weeks, and I appreciate the opportunity to expound on this morning about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We go through this life, and we go through the repetitions of life. We go through the habit of life, and we lose sight sometimes. We fail to put our mind on things above and be recognizing that our treasure is in heaven and not on earth. That we're no longer human beings having earthly experience. We are our spiritual beings, sons and daughters of God. And it was all done for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Today's Palm Sunday. They shouted Hosanna as he came into Jerusalem. Hosanna means save us now, we pray. Let him come into our temple this morning. The Lord is coming this morning. Let's open the gates of our temple this morning and allow him into our hearts this morning in a new and fresh way. I believe there's a fresh and a new, his mercies are new every morning, but I believe he's moving in such a way in his spirit now that he wants to purge out of our temple all that is of the earth, all that is worldly, all that chokes out his fruit. It says in 1 John 1:7 that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And that word cleansed is a present tense verb in the Greek. It means it's a continuous action. It is a perpetual action that he once and for all cleansed you of your sin. And it is an ongoing cleansing that he does for us. We will never know the dirt again because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is a permanent thing that he's done for us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it says, it was not possible that the blood of bulls or goats could take away sin. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which what? Can never take away sin. Those daily atonements and those daily sacrifices were just a foreshadowing of what was yet to come. The true covenant, the better covenant, which was Jesus Christ not atoning sin, but taking sin away. Behold, it says John 1:29. John crying out as he sees Jesus coming, behold, what? The Lamb of God, who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Verse 12, Hebrews chapter 10. But, you always like a verse that begins with that, don't you? The priest could never take away your sin, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, which means he was done. He sat down at the right hand of God, that time waiting to make his enemies his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. How about being perfected? Is that a good thing? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm perfect. Now, don't argue with your wife. It's in the Bible. I'm perfect. You might want to put that on your refrigerator when you get home. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. I'm perfect. Don't argue with me. You know, this continual sacrifice for sin never could get to the root of it, never could take it away. Jesus eliminated it for us. I live on a gravel road. I cannot keep the dirt off my car. Every day as I travel up and down the journeys of life, I have more dirt to wash off. It's not possible for my hose and my water to purify my car. And that's the way we walk through life, with still a sin nature, still a sin problem. When Jesus took away the sins of the world, he did what blood sacrifices of bulls and goats could not do. He gave his life. He gave his blood. Blood is life in Leviticus 17. He gave his life so that you would no longer be under the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. James says when sin becomes mature, it brings forth death. We had a debt with God. We had a penalty to pay with God. That's why in Mark he describes Jesus as our, Jesus himself describes himself as our what? Ransom. We needed a ransom. We were slaves of sin, slaves to an old worldly nature, to an Adamic nature that we could not escape. How could we get ourselves free from an Adamic nature? It was who we were. Romans 5 describes that. But this one man, by one means, offered a sacrifice that was full payment for your debt with God, full payment for your ransom with God, full payment done. If you finish paying off your car loan, do you make another payment? I hope not. If you pay off your mortgage, you don't write another check, do you? And it says in Hebrews that after this offering is done, there's no need for remission. There's no need for another offering. It is done. God looks at it. It says in Isaiah, he looks at it and he says, he's satisfied. Your debt with God is paid. You have no debt with God. He looks at you and sees holy. He looks at you and sees son and daughter. He looks at you and you've been washed by the blood. The debt you had with God, the sin debt you had with God, has been paid. You're no longer the old man. And not only that, it gets better than that. That would be good enough, right? But it gets better. Okay, the old debt has been paid, but you still got a bad nature, don't you? You still have the old man. So he's resurrected. And what does he do? Gives you his new nature. Adopts you. Borns you again by the Spirit. Indwells you now. It's no longer you who live, but what? Christ who lives in you. And the life you live now, you live by faith in the one who loves you and lives for you and died for you. Now you're no longer the old man. You're a new creation. Isn't that nice? And that's the way God looks at you. But what about you? Do you look at yourself that way? I don't. And I need to more and more. I need to see myself in the mirror and say, Son of God. Perfect in righteousness, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, yeah. Temple of God, yeah. Man of God, priest of God, holy nation, chosen people, special treasure. Yes. And then step out of my bathroom and meet the day head on. And this is who I am. I kind of wish God would have, when we get born again, changed our external appearance. Yeah. So then I would have this daily reminder. I want to have long blonde hair, you know, kind of flip it back, you know. Now, I used to do that when I was a kid. I haven't done that. In fact, it kind of hurt my neck to do that again. But he doesn't change the outside. So we need to remind ourselves. And we need to speak truth to one another. We need to encourage each other. Look up all the one another verses in the Bible. There's a lot of them. We need to build each other up. When my hands hang down, you help. When my knees are feeble, you strengthen me. You know, come together as we are, because we're a body together and he is our head. And it's together that we show the world who Jesus is. He says, by the love you have one for another, they're going to know you're my students, you're my disciples. So that's why he made the body, so we could help each other out, encourage each other. When I'm facing the storms and the waves, you help me and I'll help you when you're facing the storms and the waves. And remind each other, we're perfect in Christ. We're a new creation. We may not, we say around here a lot, we may not be what we used to be, right? We're not what we used to be. We're a new creation in Christ. All the sin debt has been paid. And even better than that, through the resurrection and the Holy Spirit, we now are a new being indwelt by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in you. Put that on your resume. It'll get you an interview. That's pretty good. Now, a point that I think the Holy Spirit wants to make today is for us to get this in our heart and to hold it. There's a difference between noun and verbs. In 1 Corinthians 6, there's a list of nouns that says, will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? You know, the idolaters, the adulterers, the sexual effeminate, the homosexuals, all the thieves and liars. Like about 12 of them in there. About 5 of them were me. Those are all nouns. And then it says, but, and such were some of you. But then we got another but. You were what? You were washed. You were washed by Jesus. You're no longer those things anymore. Not because you've gotten your act under control or you have better self-discipline. You're no longer those nouns because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Though it's no longer who you are. Now, we may have some verb issues. How many have verb issues? Verb or action. Sometimes my verbs don't line up with my noun. But my noun is established in the kingdom of God. My noun was given to me by the blood of Jesus Christ. My noun was given to me by the Holy Spirit that now lives inside of me. No one can take it away. No one can tarnish it. A thief can't steal it, and a moth can't eat it, and the rust can't corrupt it. My noun has been made by Jesus and on the cross. And it's forever. It's because he chose me. I didn't choose him. And now my verbs slowly sometimes come into alignment with the noun that I am. That's called sanctification. But let's not call ourselves, and the final section is Acts 10, where Peter's admonished by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, don't call unclean what I have declared clean. How many here have been declared clean by God through Jesus Christ on the cross? Don't call yourself unclean. Don't call yourself unclean because you've been made clean by the blood of Jesus. He paid your debt. He paid your ransom. It's done. It's finished. In fact, when he says it is finished on the cross, that same word, tereo, I think, or something like that, it's actually used in Matthew about pay tribute. The same word for it is finished actually means payment made. It's done. He's done. So don't call unclean that which he has declared and made clean. How many have ever said, I am not blank enough? Ever use that not enough phrase? Not tall enough, not good enough, not don't know enough, I'm not spiritual enough. That's not in the Bible. You're complete in Christ Jesus. And God says, you are enough. You are whole. You are complete in Christ Jesus. He is your all in all. He is your everything. So no longer do we have that shackle and that weight and that yoke on us of trying to be better for God or trying to be a better Christian. We can't be better, right? Because our noun is established. You cannot be better because you are a son and a daughter of God indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Can we do better? Yes. We can work on the verbs, but we cannot be better. And as we approach this Easter Palm Sunday, let it be a celebration. Let it be an exaltation. Let it be a rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Look what he's done for me. Look what he did for me. He came to minister and to be my ransom. He came to pay my penalty that I could never pay back. He came to die, to be the lamb that took away my sin and to make me holy and righteous, to make me again reconciled with God, to make me a holy man and a holy woman, a son of the kingdom, a daughter of the Most High, loved by God, indwelt by God, and now living for God, for it is in him that we live and move and have our being. Oh, shake off the dust, O Zion. Shake off your dust, O Zion. Put on your strength and walk out. Put on the strength. Put on the Holy Spirit. Put on the knowledge of who you are. Lord God, we rejoice in you. We celebrate you, God. You've done everything for us. You have given us all that we need. You are our Alpha. You are our Omega. You are our everything, God. You are our breath. You are our water. You are our bread. Everything is you. You are all that we need. Let us not look to the world, but look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look to Jesus. Don't look to the man or the woman to feed you. Look to Jesus. And say, I am enough. I am full. I am indwelt by God Almighty. And closing finally in 1 Peter 2:9, it tells us the nouns that we are now are, doesn't it? Here's your nouns now. You're not the 1 Corinthians 6 nouns anymore. You're the 1 Peter 2, 9 nouns. What are those? Holy nation, king, priests, chosen people, special possession, treasure. And then it says, that's who you are. It says, so that, right? That's who you are, so that you may proclaim his praises. That's what we're here for. Praise him for what he's done. Proclaim. Ex angelo. Proclaim. Get the message out. Get the message out. Fully express. Ex angelo, the praises, the excellencies, and the virtue. Oh, look what my God has done for me. I could never do myself. Look what he's done for me. I used to be lost, and now I'm found. I used to be an orphan, and now I'm adopted. I used to be in darkness, and now I'm in light. I used to be a slave of sin, slave of the carnal nature, but he's rescued me from this body of death. Now I'm a slave of righteousness. I want to please my God. I want to love him who loved me first. I want to exalt his praises. I want to shout out the excellencies and the virtue and the purity of him who died for me. Psalm 24:7. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And what? The King of Glory will come in. How many want the King of Glory to come in? Open up your hearts, brothers and sisters. Open up your gates this morning. Let the King of Glory come in. Let the rock of God blow through your heart today. Refresh you and strengthen you. Reaffirm who you are. And get those feeble knees and the arms that hang down strengthened again. For if God is for you, who can be against you? And greater is He within you than in the world. And you are now a new creation, a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Let's praise Him. Amen.
Any other kiddos? Do something with these kids right now. I'll have kids, why don't you just where you're seated, just kind of turn around and face me, and big kids can do this too, okay? A couple weeks ago we had a baptism, and baptized Jeff. I see Jeff's back there, and we also baptized Brittany. And she's like 10, I think 10 years old, something like this. And I always like to tell kids, and you've seen me do this before, I think, but if not, I'm going to show you again, okay? I want you to take one of the index finger on one of your hands, okay, and just put it up like this. Would you do that, kiddos? Everybody? And big kids, you can do this too, if you want, okay? And then, yeah, Taterbug, you know about this. I did this with you already. But, and Liam, I think I've done this with you. Yes, sir. And anyway, so, hey, Liam, come up here. Come on up here, Liam. I'm going to take a chance here, buddy. Don't mess me up, okay? This is a dangerous thing, Jason. Don't ever do this with your Bible study group on Thursday night. Don't do this, what I'm about to do. What did we say this was? Look, it's not the student, it's the teacher. Okay, that's probably the issue here. So, this is water. Got it? Why don't you guys do the same thing? Come on. It's like a puppet show. Okay, so here's the water. And here comes the person. And this, that's good. That's real good. And it's kind of looks like this, doesn't it? Andy, come here a second. Andy Oath. I want you to stand right here, and I want you to, I don't know whether you can see this or not. You know with a scar that you have in the back of your head?
It's like baseball stitches.
What is it? What do you guys see? I'm not kidding. You see that? Liam, say yes. You have to, you got to kind of look, dude, here. You got to tilt your head down kind of like that. You guys see that? You don't see
that.
I can tell you don't see
that's
that.
That's how I had him petted.
You did not.
It's a cow lick.
It's a cow lick. That's Greek for cross.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, so here comes a kiddo. Here comes Liam, that's right. And he's standing in the water. And what's that look like? And don't say X. Thank you. Not cowlick. It's a cross. And the Bible says that when God so loved the world that He gave His one-of-a-kind born Son, that whoever believes in Him would stop destroying themselves, would stop perishing, but would have eternal life. And that when Jesus hung on the cross, we've already heard the story that John shared. All of those nouns of what we used to be changed. You know, as we do say here, we may not be what we ought to be if there are guests here. We may not be what we ought to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be, right? And that's because of what That's only because, not turning over a new leaf. It's not any of those other things. John said it much more eloquently than me. But it's because of what Jesus did. And so Romans 6, somewhere around verse, I don't know, 3, 4, something like that. Check it out. Says that we were buried with Christ in baptism. After Jesus hung and died on the cross, what happened to him? He was buried, that's right, in a grave. So here we are buried. Here, come on now, work with me. You've already done it, okay. We're buried with Christ in baptism, but we are raised to walk in a new kind of life. What does that mean? That means the nouns have changed. They've changed. There's still the old nature. It's all that stuff. But your being has changed. That's what John said. It was wonderful what he said. I hope we got this in us. I hope God's Spirit did something in us on that. Did something in me, man. That the nouns have changed. What he did on the cross. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. May not be, thank you, Liam, may not be what we ought to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Isn't that right? So Heavenly Father, I pray for these kids and I ask your blessing upon them. I ask your blessing upon the parents. I ask your blessings upon the teachers, God, that your Spirit might come and might solidify this precious message that you have done for us through your Son Jesus what we could never do for ourselves. And so, God, write this message on each of our hearts, God. Bless the teachers in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Let's go. Where's Tamara? Come up here, Tamara. We've got a lot of moving parts today. No, I know. Okay, this is Tamara. I'm walking. John, walk out with Tamara. This is Tamara Pitts. You know Tamara. Walk out with her.
Am I walking out?
Yeah. No, just walk out with her. Come on now. Get your stuff. That was kind of a really unbridled joke there. So Tamara is, this is her last Sunday here. She's taking a job. Yeah, there you go. There's the awe. I told you. She's taking a new.
Why are you kicking her out now?
Well, because this is her last Sunday and she's going to go teach.
Oh.
Oh, they're a little different kind of going on there, isn't there? I'm really sorry about this morning's meeting. It's a little different today. So making an apology to guests and stuff. Okay. We love you. God bless you.
I love you.
Check's in the mail. I'm praying for her right now. What's wrong with you people? You got to bow your heads, close your eyes, and fold your hands. What's up? I mean, pray for her right now. Thank you, God, for Tamara. Thank you, God, for Tamara. God bless her today. Use her today. Fill her with your Spirit, Lord God. Let her teach today like she's never taught before. And put gas in her car so she can commute every Sunday from Kansas City. Amen. No, you cannot go visit. Man, I've been wrestling this morning with what I need to share. I'm believing that this sign's got something to do with it. Shirley Kroll why don't you come on up here? Shirley has spent her life in, I'll have you stand right here, Shirley. Spent her life in intercession and intercessory prayer, as many of you, I'm so grateful for intercessors. And I know that virtually every morning at around 5:30, this lady right back here, who shall go nameless because she doesn't like her name mentioned, but her initials are Karen Hendrickson. I know that she prays for me. I know somewhere along the line in the long list of people that she prays for every day, I know that my name shows up there. And I just want you to know that I'm grateful for intercessors. But Shirley, has a significant, word, a thought. And I've asked her to be brief because we got a lot of things going on. We got a couple more things really that need to be shared this morning. But just this thing about coming out of Egypt, that's significant, I think, from what John has shared and all that. Would you just...
That's what I felt.
Yeah, it's all right. Just keep talking. It'll get on here shortly.
Tomorrow night is the eve of Pesach.
Okay. It is powered up, honestly. Hang on a second.
There. Thank you. Tomorrow night is the beginning, the eve of Pesach, and the ancient people of Israel will be celebrating the Passover lamb. But they'll be looking back at what they were brought out of Egypt. They still don't realize the Passover lamb has arrived. But on Tuesday, then, Jesus was crucified. He was the Passover lamb. And God is so in line. He died on that day. But then the Jews all week long will be fasting, and all up till now they have been cleaning their homes, spring cleaning of all yeast, which represents sin. And they're going to be celebrating for a whole week, eating only bread that has no yeast in it, which is called Pesach. And if you've ever seen a piece of, I don't mean Pesach, matzah. And if you've ever seen a piece, it's flat, it has stripes and holes in it. It really represents Jesus Christ. So what John said, just because I've been so burdened, you said I'm an intercessor. One of my burdens is Israel. And that the ancient people come to know their Pesach lamb. Yeah. And so all this week, it's a time to look back in our lives and think what he's brought us out of. Yes. We've come out of Egypt. It's a time to really celebrate for a whole week. And that's what I had to say.
Quick. That's a pretty big question. Who is Jesus? I think the most... Mark, you need to make sure that you can get out of that row there in a little bit, okay? Because I want our church to hear your story. I want to share some other stories with you this morning. And these stories are to underscore who Jesus is. Last week we asked the question, I think the most important of all theological questions to be answered is this question right here: who is Jesus? And we're asking that question and we're hearing the answers from various ones. Last week we know that God says that Jesus is my son, most beloved. Yeah, we looked at the passage in Matthew chapter 3. It said, he is my son, most beloved. This morning we're going to ask that same question as we will next Sunday. And the banners will give you somewhat of a tip off of how we're going to answer that question next Sunday. But we're asking the question, who is Jesus? And we want to hear what others say. I've gone through the Gospels these past couple, 2-3 weeks, and I've listed out everything, every name in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of what others have said about Jesus. When you go through the Gospels and you look at what others say, you will hear various kinds of answers. Do you know some of those answers? What do others say? He's what?
Elijah.
He's Elijah. What are some of the other things? Come on, you guys read your Bibles. One of the prophets. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the Most High. Often, teacher, what? Rabboni also, and teacher. And there's just a lot of, one Messiah, one person even called him a good fellow. That's the understatement of the day, isn't it? A good fellow. Yeah, I wrote that down. I don't remember which gospel it was. But I said, you know, good fellow. What? You know, it's like the, say, good old chap. Who, my good fellow, you know. Do you want some water? You want some water? Anyway, the gospel according to Monty Python. But here's what others say today. And this is, I just want to underscore this with some stories. And I just want to tell some stories, I think, today. Kind of deviate from how we normally do things. Jesus is our supply most needed. Paul writes these things in Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19. You can quote it. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches. Where? In Christ Jesus. He's our supply. Whatever you need, he's your supplier. Which I think really kind of begs the question, what are some of the needs that are here in this room right now? You know what? Babies cooing are awesome. If that bothers anybody in here, not this group. We like that, don't we? Travis, where are you going, dude? It's all right. You're going to join another church. That's really good. Oh, that's why we got the cooing going on. Okay. God bless you there, Travis. Some of your need, I'm quite well aware of this. You know, when we pray for needs here in this house, and we will do that at the tail end today, I always ask people, I say, you know, let's pray for the lost to be saved, for the sick to be healed, for the empty to be filled, and for the downcast to be encouraged or to be lifted up. And so I'm quite well aware of the fact that in any given place where churches are meeting today for worship, that at least those four needs are represented. Now, there are most certainly other needs, but let's just take that first need to be saved. There's a story of Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 33, but I just want to draw your attention to two verses found in chapter 14 in verses 30 and 31. You know the story here of what was happening. That, you know, in my Bible, it's subtitled, Jesus Walks on the Water. And And, you know, they're in a storm. Jesus has gone off to pray by himself. I understand that need to kind of get away and to pray. You know, it begins in 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. Jesus didn't go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. And then the boat was quite a ways away from shore, it says. And if you'll jump down to verses 30 and 31, here's what Matthew says. And seeing the wind, he became frightened. Now, what had happened up to this point? You tell me. It's a story. You know the story. What has happened up to that has brought him to this verse, verse 30? The boat is, it's like it's rocking and reeling, right? Okay. Due to a storm. There's some pretty serious winds. Water's coming in the boat. You tell me kind of what the conversation's like in the boat. Let me hear it. You're all in the boat with the disciples. You're a disciple. What's the conversation like? We're going under. Well, actually, it gets a little bit later than that, but that's what's going on. And then they see, and what do they call Jesus here in this thing? You didn't mention this word.
A ghost.
A ghost. Not the Holy Ghost either. He's just the ghost at this point. Looks like a ghost out there. And so here's what it says. And he realizes that it's the Lord. And Peter says to the Lord in verse 28, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I get into these things. I get into these stories when I'm studying. I hope you do. I hope you don't just read it to check off a box. Say, okay, I did my Bible reading for that day. I really get into this stuff, okay? And it's not just because I'm, you know, been to Preacher Factory. I just get into this stuff. Seminary, you know what I'm talking about. And so it's almost, I kind of see it almost like this. It's almost kind of like, you know, he realizes, they're saying, that's a ghost. What is that? We see that. They're far away from land. We see this thing. And then I can imagine Simon Peter says, no, that's the Lord. Hey, how'd you do that? Well, come on out. I'll show you. Okay. Lord, save me. Is that what he says in verse 31? That's kind of what I see. Nah, I don't know. You know. So it was far distance from land. So my guess is that we're not talking about, it's kind of one of those deals where, well, I'm drowning. And so, well, why don't you put your feet down? It's like you're in 2 feet of water or something. I don't think so. I think he was in over his head. Anybody ever been in over their head? How about in this area here? How about this area here? Anybody in over their head over here? You come to the right person. Who is Jesus? He's your supply and your Savior. He alone can bring you on through. Now, it may have been that he was saying, oh, I'm going under. So I was taking a group of people that I'd trained in evangelism to do street ministry down in New Orleans one year. I think, Mark, were you on that bus? Oh, no, you would know if you were on that bus. So we have about 30 of us on this bus. And it's about a 15-hour drive from here to New Orleans. Really nice bus. Sleeping berths, you know. It's called an entertainer bus. One year we had the bus that just came off of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young tour. Pretty sure it smelled kind of funny, if you know what I mean. Now, one year we had one of the buses from the Metallica tour, and so it was just rock and roll. It's really suffering for, it's not suffering for Jesus, okay? So Once we got there, you're suffering for Jesus. But so we have really nice private sleeping berths, and it's two lounges and all that stuff. And first 8 hours you go down, then we change drivers in West Memphis. It always bums me out when we get to the driver in West Memphis. It's the only thing the dude has to do. That's his job. He drives this bus for this company. And I don't know that I've ever had one get on the bus in those some 16, 17 years of doing that, that was awake. They're always asleep kind of thing. And I'm thinking, you know, and they give the transfer log books and all. No, that's true. So I never rest easy on those things. I don't sleep on those things. I am down in the wheel well with the driver, and I'm talking to him about a lot of nothing. You know, just trying to keep him awake. You know, look, when a bus driver starts doing this, that's not a good sign. So I'm down there, and they always say, but, you know, Pastor, why don't you sleep? You never sleep. I said, look, somebody's got to keep this guy awake. So I'm making conversation with him. About 4 o'clock in the morning, we were we were somewhere around south of Jackson, Mississippi, on I-55. It was raining like cats and dogs. It was horrific weather. The bus was rocking, you know, and everything like that. And all of a sudden I hear, boom, like that. And then the bus is rocking. I mean rocking like this. Now, I was sitting back at that time because someone had already come forward and said, look, why don't you take a break, Pastor? You sit there in the deal, and I'll keep you, get some shut-eye, and I'll keep the driver awake, okay? So we had just made the change. I had just gotten in and sat down and trying to get my sleeping bag and the pillow and all that stuff. Boom, like that. And then this bus is doing this deal. And I'm thinking, okay, we hit something. And then I got to thinking, did we blow a tire? And let me tell you, for drivers that drive for a living, 70 miles per hour is a suggestion. Okay? It's only a suggestion because we go real fast. Real fast. And so about 4 a.m., dark, raining like cats and dogs, boom, this thing's back and forth. Then I hear him say, I do not have control. Yeah. Oh, I was praying. Yeah. And now the bus begins to veer off down into the median. And contrary to what you think, all of the South is not flat. Okay? This is pretty serious. You know, I know you've traveled that road, Pamela, many times. So this bus should not be up right now. I mean, and I've got sleeping bags and I've got stuff up against the window because I know, as I proceeded to announce to the bus, not we're going under, we're going over. And they all criticized me for that later. Says, you've got no faith. I'm thinking, dude, when you're at a 45-degree angle, I'm kind of seeing things as they are. Okay? All right? So I got faith in him, just not in that bus right now. And the bus driver that said, I have no control. Well, anyway, so we're down in there. And it's been raining, so it's real mushy. But we are just barreling it. I'm thinking, did he not have brakes either? We're just, going like this thing. And I'm saying, okay, good. It's kind of righting itself. It's in the center. Now you know what it's doing. It's going up the other side. Now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, now I am praying. Because now we're going into head-on traffic on I-55 coming north. And then it kind of comes back down and finally comes to a stop. Mired so deep we could get out of the bus, but we were told certainly not to do that. But the bay doors where the luggage and all that stuff dented in, you couldn't get in anything. And there's no tire left at anything on that front of that bus. So anyway, long story short, they brought in two massive wreckers. I-55 is closed, which blessed everyone, I'm sure, southbound. And these two wreckers, they couldn't pull the bus out. It was mired down, the one big, you know, these big wreckers. And so they got one on the front and one on the back, and they drug us up the side of the thing sideways, literally up the side of the thing. Which, you know, I thought we were going over again, you know, because it's now we're out. Yeah. So they fixed the tire. We get to a rest area there in La Place, you know, where I-55 and I-10 meet. And a trucker who was right behind us pulled in after us. And the tire had been fixed and we were there needing a bathroom break pretty bad. We were there to change our shorts. What, are you guys just so super spiritual that you don't? I'm just saying, it was a harrowing experience. The truck driver said this. He said, I have never seen a bus accident like that ever. And I've been driving for, I can't remember how many years. He came ringing up to us when I came out of the bus. He said, I've never seen an accident. He said, you should not have survived. And we walked around the side of that bus, as God is my witness, on the side of that bus, amongst all of the mud, was a handprint. Now, you can believe what you want to. Who is Jesus? He is your supply when most needed. You know, we do have a picture of that. I don't know where it's at, but we do have a picture of that. That was kind of one of those things that I kind of wanted to remember and forget all at the same time. Handprint of God. You know, if you need your life righted, there'll be the handprint of God on your life too, if you'll just let Him. That's who He is. I'm always aware that there are people here that need to be healed. Like the one over in Mark in chapter 2, it's the paralytic that gets healed here. You know the story, no longer, verse 2 says, no longer room, not even near the door, couldn't get in. You know, one account, and this account is one of those where this guy had four friends. He was a paralytic, couldn't walk, unable to get to him because of the crowd, get to Jesus. Verse 4, they removed the roof above him. You know that story, right? How's the rest of that story go? Come on, tell me the rest of the story. We're going under, right? So they removed the roof. That must have been the site. What else? Then tell me what else happened. Lowered him down to where? Where did they put him, Joy? Right in front of Jesus. Right at his feet. You do know that if you need healing today, that'd be a good place to be. Right? Mark Wright, I want you to come up here. Or do you want me to just bring a mic back there? You know, we've been praying for Mark. He's been going through this metastatic colon cancer. You might want to back off this mic a bit. But colon cancer for what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Tell as much of your story that you want to tell. But we definitely want to get to
the good part. Well, I want to tell you about what happened to me this week, but I also need to go back in my life to tell you about the times that God's put His hand directly on my life and His fingerprints are all over me. So when I was 8 years old, I broke this arm in 3 different places. Every bone was broken in my arm. It looked like a Z. It was the worst break I'd ever seen in my life. The doctors were going to cut my arm off. This is in 1978, when technology was not around. They were prepared to do that. Instead, God put his hands on my life at that time at the young age of 8 years old, when I had just become a Christian a few months earlier. Had surgery, and through the surgeon's hands, he formed my arm back together, put the bones back in place without even cutting on my arm. No screws, no pins. And this arm, I was in the hospital for 6 days. You're not in the hospital for 6 days for a broken arm, you know, but I was. That's how bad it was. my arm healed completely, like it had never been broke. And then from the age of 6 years old, so that's one time, from the age of 6 years old to 18, I always wanted to be a firefighter. That's all I thought about during school, when I should have been thinking about my work, but that's all I thought about. At the age of 18 years old, I started to be a firefighter. God had made a dream come true in my life. And just a few weeks later, ran my very first fatality accident. Came back, I was living with my parents still at the age of 18. Woke my parents up at 1 o'clock in the morning crying, saying, "This is what I just saw. I don't know if I can do this." And my dad read the verse to me that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And 30 years later, I was a firefighter and a medic for 30 years. And that verse got me through 30 years of seeing stuff like that. And it's all for God's glory. That's what God wanted me to do. And if God wants you to do something, he's going to find a way for you to do it. He's going to equip you to do it.
And so everything was perfect once you retired just a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Everything's perfect now.
Yeah.
You got no troubles, no problems.
Yeah, right. Well, and that gets me to my last story here. And I always wanted to really be a witness to people, but I don't really know the Bible enough to really feel like I could share the gospel with someone and lead them to Christ. Like you hear stories, "Hey, I led this person to Christ," you know, and it just didn't feel like me, you know. I could try to live my life and lead by example and try to love people like Jesus would love someone. But so for years and years, I prayed that God, please equip me somehow in a way that I could be a witness to people without all the knowledge of the Bible and stuff like that. And he's equipped me with a story. So 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with colon cancer. It was undetected. They found it through one of my City of Columbia physicals, through my blood work. I had a softball-sized tumor inside my abdomen. Didn't even know it. I was losing blood. I was anemic. Hemoglobin was low. They did a surgery, took out 7 inches of my upper intestine, removed the tumor, went through 6 months of chemo without any side effects from the chemotherapy, no side effects. And had a colonoscopy last April 1st, and they said no more colon cancer. And 2 weeks later, I had an MRI, and the colon cancer had moved to my liver. So I had two tumors on my liver, and so it was starting to feel like a roller coaster up and down. And I had my surgeon, before I met my surgeon, I just prayed, "God, I need you to calm the waters because this is crazy. Whenever I meet the surgeon, I need to know that you sent him to help me. Please let me know that." And my family can be a witness to this, that I couldn't have had the best surgeon, one of the best in the United States. He teaches other surgeons the surgery that he did on me. And he's a Christian. And when I left there, I knew that God had sent him to help me. He had only come to Columbia 4 months before my surgery from, like, St. Louis area. God had sent him to help me. And he helped me. My surgery was supposed to be 4 to 6 hours. As most of you know, it was 17 hours. I was under anesthesia for 23 hours, needing no blood. Vital signs were stable the whole time. I went through 6 more months of chemotherapy, a stronger chemotherapy, And the very first time, I was so sick. I told my parents, I told my doctors, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I need to almost quit this because this is too hard on me. They changed up a regimen of treatment, started giving me steroids and stuff like that. No more side effects through the remainder of my chemo treatments. So 24 rounds of chemo, basically no side effects other than that one time. And was hoping that I was healed, you know, and we were believing that. Until the spots came back, I had had two CAT scans and they said, we don't see anything. And then they did an MRI and the spots had come back on my liver. So this was about 2 months ago. They basically said you have anywhere from months to 2 years to live. We don't really know what else we can do at this point to help you because we've tried everything. It's almost incurable at this time. So I said, I asked if I could meet with my doctor the next day, and we'd prayed, and all my surgeons and doctors and oncologists and radiologists, they all met and reviewed my case, and they decided, with my age and my overall health, let's try a real aggressive radiation regimen with chemo for 7 weeks every day. And so the whole time I was going through the radiation, every day I'd go in there praying, please help this to work, you know. This is basically my last chance of getting this. And every time I go over there, I just leave there blessed because of the people that I would meet over there. Just amazing people. That are going through a lot worse things than what I was going through. So it was almost like going to church, how you feel when you leave church. I mean, it was just really great. So I had a CAT scan this past Tuesday, and like I was telling the gentleman that we're here meeting on Thursday night, sometimes I always wonder if God gets tired of hearing the same old prayer from me every time because I just repeat myself. You know, when you're waiting for 2 months for a scan result, you tend to repeat yourself a lot.
What do you think? Does he get tired of those kinds of prayers?
Yeah. And so driving over there Tuesday morning, I prayed a couple different prayers. I prayed that my doctor, when he brought the images up, he would be amazed of what he saw. And I also prayed that the children of this church and the children in your families that were praying for me every night. I've been told by so many families that our kids pray for you every night, and this has been going on for months, that they would see a miracle. We're all adults. We've all seen things happen in our lives. We've all seen God show up in our lives before. We've all had our arms healed. We've had different things in our lives to strengthen our faith. But when kids are in Sunday school and they hear the message, they need to see results. They need to see something real that they can attach themselves to. And so I prayed that they would see a miracle and they wouldn't be disappointed, you know. And I got a miracle Tuesday. He brought those images up, and he brought them up on the screen. He kept going in and out of the images real slow of my organs, looking. He didn't see the spots that he saw 2 months ago.
Come on! Yeah! Yeah! Come on! Absolutely.
He said, Mark, you look good. I don't see any sign of disease. I don't see any sign of disease. And of course, we praise God and haven't stopped since. God delivered when I needed to be rescued. God delivered me. God helped me. And he wants to help you. There's a song from Hawk Nelson, if any of you guys know Hawk Nelson. The part of the chorus goes, no matter how many skies fall down, I'm covered under the peace I've found. And no matter what skies are falling in your life, you're covered under the peace that you have found in your own life. Whether that sky falling is your car broke down, you got to be somewhere in 30 minutes, you're having trouble with your spouse, your kids are acting up, you know, you got bills. We all have skies that fall in our lives that we just think it's the end of the world, but all of a sudden Sunday comes back up and we're here and we made it through that week and we passed that test and everything else. So, and it's so good to see Andy here. My gosh, I mean, that's a miracle right there. So I thank you for all your prayers. God gave us the miracle that we prayed for. And I thank you for giving me the chance to share his story, not mine.
Who is Jesus? Man, the answer is clear to me. We're totally incapable of making progress and moving forward. Jesus is our supply. We always have needs. People being saved, needs of people being healed, and very cognizant of the fact that we need to be filled. Sometimes people come in here empty. Maybe empty because of one of the things that Mark was talking about, stuff. Man, how critical it is to get our eyes focused off of our stuff, though, and get them really focused upon him. John had shared earlier a piece of the hymn that we had used to sing when we were this big, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. There are a couple stories, one in Luke 1 and one in Luke 2. About one in Luke 1 is about Zechariah. You know the story. John the Baptist's dad. His wife Elizabeth had been barren. Didn't think it was going to happen for them. No kids. And the lot fell on him to be the priest that would go in on that day of atonement, and most believe. And when he went in there, God so powerfully met with him that what was the result for Zechariah? Remember what happened to him? Mute, yeah, couldn't talk. That's pretty critical for a preacher. And it's kind of sort of what he was. And he's going to have a baby. He can't really... Can't tell anybody about this thing. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, that's some pretty big stuff for him. And, of course, John the Baptist is born. And then there is this amazing passage found in Luke chapter 1, verses 60 or 67. Actually it's verse 67, 68. It talks about this... John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, and has this amazing word, this prophetic word that he shares. We won't read it. You just got to read it. But I want to say this about that, and then about a story that is a follow-up to this in Luke 2, where Simeon, who felt like God had spoken to him, that he would see the Messiah, see the expected one, all of the names that we have, the Christ, that you'll find in all the Gospels when you look for the things that other people say about him. And you know the story, and you find it in Luke chapter 2 and verses 27 and 28. It says that he takes Jesus. What was that like? Took Jesus, he's a baby then, but took this baby in his arms. And then you read this amazing two or three verse statement that Simeon makes. And the point that I want to make about that is this in this need to be filled? In both cases, it said that in one, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Zechariah's case. In Simeon's case, it says that he said that he heard these words from God and he spoke these words from God because the Holy Spirit was upon him. So the question that, you know, that I just would ask, just kind of parenthetically, really, how did these two guys hear from God and then speak for God as they did? Only one way. Holy Spirit. Have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I say it like this. There are two words in Greek that are used to that we translate to know. One of those words, oida, is a word that traditionally, mostly has been translated, they both are translated with our English word to know. But one of those has to do, oida, has to do with to know with certainty. That's like here. That it's like a mathematician, like someone who studies mathematics or something, and you learn the different principles of mathematics in whatever discipline of mathematics you're studying, and then you have a test on that, and you apply what you know for certainty up here on a test, and you make a good grade, okay? That's one no. There's another word that is transgenosko, and it in Greek, and it genosko, actually, and it literally, and what it often means is to know experientially. In other words, it's one thing to know it up here. It's another thing to know it in here. And, you know, I pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Every day. And there's a reason, you know, maybe a lot of reasons for why we have a need for the Holy Spirit. But, you know, your bucket leaks and, you know, all that stuff. You know, get filled up, it leaks and all that kind of thing. Well, and then sometimes there's just so much dead gum stuff that happens in a person's life. And it just, it's... Sometimes, I don't know if you're like I am, but sometimes it's like I don't even know where the bucket is anymore. I mean, sometimes there's so many things that are going on. And so I say, oh, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, I need you to come and fall fresh on me. I need to be filled again and again. Bible says to don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, or we might say anything that you would be drunk of. You know, don't be drunk with this or don't be drunk. There are a lot of things that people walk around in a drunken stupor with. You know, a lot of things. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It's a lot of stuff. In other words, don't get so embroiled in the world's stuff. Just don't do that. But rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. John alluded to the fact of when he was talking a while ago that they're, you know, talk about present active verbs in Greek. Those are continuous action verbs. And that means it's not like, oh, fill me once and for all. It's fill me and fill me and fill me again and fill me again and fill me again. And you know, if you're like I am, you're going along fine on a certain level. And then all of a sudden, something just comes out of the, just right out of there. And it's like, whoa. And it's like, I don't feel like I'm, what do I do now? Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. And what that means for me is this. Is getting what is here into here. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, you have your own definition of what that means. I'm just saying what it means to me. I read a lot. I quote and memorize a lot of stuff. A lot of scripture. When I've gone through different things and the illness of our daughter and just a lot of other things, I will quote scripture. God will bring back for me scripture. He'll say, you know, remember it says this and it's written in here and I'll be in this and I'll in this situation and this scripture will just kind of come through and say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And in many ways, a lot of times it's, you know, don't be afraid. Be at ease. Keep your mind stayed on me and I'll keep you in perfect peace. And be still and know that I am the Lord. You know, I am God. And all of these things, you know, and you quote these verses And it's like, oh yeah, man, that's a good verse. Oh, thank you for that, God. What do I do now? You know? It's still up here. I can quote it, but it's not gotten into here. It's not gotten into my walk. I'm not really convinced that God is going to do something for me in that. Now, does that mean always that if you have metastatic colon cancer, that it's always going to go away and you're always going to hear the surgeon say, as I heard that day, I didn't hear him in the room. I heard him as he came out of the room. He was the first one that kind of left you guys, and you were all hugging, and we did a happy dance right there in the hallway. It was awesome. Wasn't that awesome? Tears, crying. Don't even know why. Well, we know we're happy. Well, why are you crying? I don't know. I'm just happy, you know. And we just embraced and did a little happy dance kind of thing. But I heard, this is what I heard. You didn't hear this probably. I heard Dr. Tuncevic go into his office right next door, you know, around the dealer. And, you know, speak into his computer. You know, he speaks into his little deal there, as all doctors do, and they tell the story. And he says, patient number such and such, Mark Wright, first saw him on such and such. And he kind of, I mean, in about 30 seconds, went through your whole medical history that he had up here. And he said, and today, after his final CT scan, I find no evidence of any cancer anywhere. Now, I heard him say that, okay? So you're coming out now, you're crying, and you're Donnie, you know, he comes out, and that was all I needed right there. Thumbs up. Okay, I got it. I understand what thumbs up means in the Greek. You know what that means? You know what that means in the Greek? It means thumbs up. That's what it means. I'm just saying. So sometimes though, you know what John said? We gotta get this work down in us. For the believer, it's always this. What? You might die? Guess what? We're all terminal. Everybody in this room's terminal. Just saying. It's always thumbs up. To be absent from this body is to be what? You know the scripture too. Is it here or is it here? Okay. Who is Jesus? The answer seems clear to me. He's our supply. Here's what Luke chapter 11 and verse 13 says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I know that everybody that's in here today that's listening to my voice, you either came in here dragging stuff with you, or there was something that was dragging you in here. I know that. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled. You need to know all of the stuff that you've heard. And most of us have, we've been in Sunday school enough to heard enough Sunday school teaching to dam up the Mississippi River. But most of it's right up here. We need to get it into here. And that's the Spirit of God for me that does that. Gets it from here to there. And then just some of you just need encouragement. There's this amazing story, the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. The thing that got me about that story was when I read it in verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 8 is this woman, she's caught in the act of adultery. Why did those religious fat cats not bring the guy in? You know, it takes two, excuse me. What the heck's wrong with that? It was, now, I'm not making a political statement here. But how someone could have a banner at the corner of Providence and Broadway that says, stop the bombing, and down the street, are you with me? Down the street on Providence at Planned Parenthood, someone wasn't there with a banner that says, stop the killing.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. Is there? It's no different today than it was then. Yeah. We dragged the one thing in, and that's all she was to those religious fat cats. And we disregard the other. To fit our own little narrative. So they drug this woman, threw at Jesus' feet, and said this woman was caught in the act of adultery. You know the story. And Jesus said what? Yeah. Go ahead. Come on. Yeah. If you don't have any sin in your life, let her rip. Yeah. Pick up the stone and get a big one. You know, all that. What? How did the story end? Where was Jesus in the midst of all this? He was right there where? With her, next to her. Where was he? He was on the ground with her. Are you with me? He got right down in the dirt with her. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's who you are. When we're so down, the only way is up. You know, David said it like this. If I descend into the depths of Sheol or to the heights of a mountain, guess who I found to be there before I got there? God's already there. So he was down on the ground with her. And when it says he straightened himself up, I have no doubts in my mind that when he did, he was first down with her, you know. He was right down with her, groveling with her. Not really groveling, but he was down with her. And, you know, when someone's really down, their face is all the way down. They can't, their hands are over, they're cupped over their face and all that. And they just, you know, I just don't have anything else to do. My whole life has just caved in and they're trying to kill me. I don't know what to do. And Jesus, I know he did this. He took her face in his hands and said, look around. He maybe even had to move her face. Who condemns you? And she says, well, they're all gone. Nobody. He says, I don't condemn you either. Now, you don't go on living like that. Let there be a change. Who's Jesus? The answer is clear. He's our supply. I want you to pray big prayers right now. And I say, that's the kind of Jesus I want. One who is my supply. Give me Jesus. Hang on just a second, Ken. Give me Jesus. That's who I am.
Jesus, you can have. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Father God, that's our prayer. Say, give us Jesus. We know who He is. Bless this week, oh God. As we come back again on specific days that we've already mentioned, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. As we remember, Lord God, give us Jesus. Save the lost in this room. Heal the sick in this room. Fill the empty in this room. Encourage those who are so beat down. They have no other place to go but up. Come, Lord. Be their supply. Most needed. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I hope to see you all on Wednesday night as we watch and pray. And Thursday, I encourage you to fast with us. And in that fasting, it's not just the deprivation of food. It's at those times when you normally would eat. Take a walk. Go sit in a chair or something and just meditate. Just think on Him, who He is. We know what God says. We know what some others have said. And we look forward to Friday night then. Pastor Scott and Legacy Point, our church plant, will be here with us. We're going to be taking communion. Pastor Scott's going to be preaching. You don't want to miss this. And let's pack this sucker out, okay? Let's invite some people to be here and come back, would you? And then Saturday night, we're going to be hearing from Pastor Michael. And he's going to be... We're going to be looking at the time between the crucifixion and the resurrection. It was a time of waiting. If you're going to miss Scott, don't miss Michael. And then Sunday morning, we're going to hear from Jesus, what He says, how He answers the question, who He is. Okay? If you're going to miss Friday and Saturday, don't miss Pastor Doug on Sunday, okay? God bless you guys. Hug somebody's neck.